Hi, everyone. Today is the final episode of the Keith Montgomery trial. As I sit here now, I honestly don't know the way the episode is going to be received. Maybe some people will be relieved. Maybe some people will be frustrated. Some people will wonder what my message was in all of this. At the end of this episode, I'm going to be delivering an address. Well, that sounds too presidential. It's more of a letter from the editor. I'm going to tell you what happened this season from my perspective as concisely as possible. The way it surprised me, what went wrong, and my thoughts on its ending. If you care to join me after the episode, I'll try to keep it brief, and between now and then, I hope you enjoy the episode. When one person's word is pitted against another's, how do we exact justice? Keith Montgomery stands trial in the sexual battery of Riley Page. With limited physical evidence, a new form of lie detection, and an investigation under investigation, the Montgomery jury must determine if the truth lies with the victim or the defendant. Arguments have concluded and deliberations are in progress.
Let me ask you this. In a case of sexual battery, how much evidence should be required? A videotape of the encounter? A witness who saw it happen? A bruise in the shape of a suspect's hand? Really? When a person is privately violated, how much corroborating evidence can we reasonably expect to find? Where is that bar set? Rapists should be held accountable. Keith Montgomery showed an intent to have sex on the night in question. He was later inconsistent in that narrative when he told Detective Suarez he went to Riley's looking for a friend. Riley, on the other hand, has maintained a consistent narrative throughout. She suffered a torn perineum from the violence of their encounter, and she sat up and told you at tremendous cost to herself exactly what happened to her. Where is this girl's justice?
Ms. Brooks stands before you and asks, how high should the bar of evidence be? I'll tell you how high. As high as it is for every other defendant facing their loss of liberty. The bar is set at reasonable doubt. And no, that doesn't change because this is a sensitive case. Here are the facts. Number one, perineums are frequently torn from consensual sex. Number two, unlike what Ms. Brooke asserted in her closing, Ms. Page's narrative was not always consistent. She stated she was restrained across her chest by the defendant's forearm until she got to the nurse examiner's office, at which time her narrative changed. Three, Ms. Page was my client's ex-girlfriend. She pursued him after they broke up. He cheated on her. His new girlfriend cheated on him. Cheating on cheating on cheating. This is a sordid mess. So no, I can't look at this web of emotionally charged young people filled with confusion and hurt feelings and alcohol and say that a rape occurred. No one can. This case is too ambiguous. And when you are considering taking a man's life, a man's future away from him, there can be no margin for error. You have to be sure. And I don't think anyone watching this trial can say for a certainty that Keith Montgomery raped Riley Page on the night of April 19th.
I'm not going to tell you Keith Montgomery is a rapist. I'm going to let him do that. From his online article, quote, "She wants to say yes, and she's looking to you to make the decision for her," end quote. From a text to his friend on the night in question, quote, "Already moved on. Going to go get my dick wet now," end quote. From the note he left on Riley's windshield the next morning, quote, "I'm sorry about last night. Please don't say anything," end quote. Nothing further.
Do To prove the crime of sexual battery, the state must prove the following four elements beyond a reasonable doubt. 1. Keith Montgomery committed an act upon Riley Page in which the sexual organ of the defendant penetrated or had union with the vagina of the victim. 2. Keith Montgomery's act was committed without the consent of Riley Page. 3. At the time of the offense, Riley Page was 18 years of age or older. 4. At the time of the offense, Keith Montgomery was 18 years of age or older. And our definitions: consent means intelligent, knowing, and voluntary consent, and does not include coerced submission. Consent does not mean the failure by the alleged victim to offer physical resistance to the offender. Union means contact. Riley Page's lack of chastity is not a defense to the crime charged.
So we have 3 out of 4 that we all agree on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No. Not beyond a reasonable doubt, no.
So,
well, let's start with the first one.
Keith Montgomery committed an act upon Riley Page in which the sexual organ of the defendant penetrated or had union with the vagina of the victim.
They both say that that happened.
Yeah.
But committed an act, does that mean consensual sex?
It just means committed an act.
But that's the thing.
Number one is just asking if we all agree that they had intercourse.
And they both admit it, so I think that we should.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes. Both of them. So, okay. Yes.
Should we skip to 3 and 4?
Yes. Yeah,
let's skip to 3 and 4.
Anyone disagree that they are over the age of 18?
No.
Nope.
No.
So we have 3 out of 4 that we all
agree
on.
Okay, number 2. Keith Montgomery's act was committed without the consent of Riley Page.
Consent meaning intelligent, knowing, and voluntary consent does not include coerced submission. Does not mean the failure of Riley to fight back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me,
she said no.
There's no consent. According to her, and that's all we have, is she did not consent.
Mm-hmm.
She said no. She
pushed him away.
She pushed him away. She said stop.
Mm-hmm.
We just had to decide if there's any kind of, is there any reasonable shred of doubt that there was some consent? Is it possible in any way, shape, or form, reasonably, to think that maybe there was some consent? If there's a shred of that, then we'd all have to vote not guilty.
I think this whole case is not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a case of one person's word versus another. I can't put a person away for that.
Well, where do you see the consent, though?
I don't know. I wasn't there. You have 2 different stories.
Well,
There's no evidence for me to say either way.
So what do people in this situation, what are they supposed to do? I mean, if there's no way to provide evidence, then that means that just someone who's guilty gets to do it again.
That's the flaw with the system.
Well, it's not really, I don't see it as a flaw. I mean, I think there's the point of the system is that we'd rather let a guilty man go free than convict an innocent person. So you err on the side of that. That's why we have you're innocent till proven guilty. And that's where the burden is on the prosecutor to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. So it's not just doubt, but a reasonable doubt. So is there a reasonable possibility that he didn't do this?
I think we have to then, we're deciding if we believe her testimony, if we believe her version of the accounts. And if we don't, then I think we have to prove that she's doing this for another reason, because I think we have to submit to the fact that bringing a case about like this is a total disruption to someone's life.
Yeah.
It's a huge, huge obstacle for them in the future to come out with this and to stop everything in their world for a very long time and to have this sort of scarlet letter on them. And so I think if we're doubting that, then we have to prove that she has some malicious intent, and that definitely hasn't been proven by the defense. And I think that was the defense's job, and they didn't do it.
No, I agree. And I feel that, you know, Keith Montgomery has not done everything within his power to prove that he is innocent.
Mm-mm.
He is not, of course, it's not required that he take the stand or that he submit himself to questioning, but he had that option, And he has remained silent. He's admitted that they had sex, but he is not, and he claimed it was consensual, but he has not denied the allegations which she put forth while on the stand. He has chosen to remain silent.
You don't know that, though. His defense attorney could have very well said,
She didn't.
Well, I understand that, but at the same time, if we're going to make assumptions about Riley as well, let's make assumptions about
No, this isn't about assumptions. If he is innocent, if he disagrees, or if he denies these allegations that are being charged against him, he had the opportunity to say something.
He said he is not guilty, and he's protecting himself when there's alcohol.
He said, we had a good time.
And then we have a he said, she said.
That's exactly my issue,
but
yes.
We were presented with information to hear her story, and all of us get to have our individual opinions on whether we believe her or not and what we think. We can talk about it, but we still have our individual opinions. And then we have the other person who has decided not to give his opinion on this and has not allowed us, jury, to analyze what he says and whether we believe him or not.
I don't believe they defended him really at all in this case.
Mm.
And I have to assume that there's a reason why.
Because they're scared that he looks really guilty, and if he talks, he's going to look
even more
guilty.
But they also haven't made a case for why she's doing this, then, if it's not for the fact that she was raped.
I feel like just as it is her the prosecutor's job to make a convincing case for why she was sexually assaulted, I feel like it's the defense's job and the defendant's job to make a convincing argument, a claim for why he's innocent, and he's not.
Well, it's the opposite. I mean, it's the prosecutor's job. He is innocent, and the prosecutor's job is to convince us that he's guilty. Is that's what you have to go in.
True.
And beyond a reasonable doubt.
Listen, I believe Riley's testimony.
I'm convinced.
And he has not offered a counter testimony in any way approaching that level of detail.
They have said nothing to unconvince me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the text message is really the whole getting his dick wet thing, kind of, because that's like
the note.
He wasn't going over to like wash his penis. You know, it's clearly there's.
I'm sorry about last night. Don't tell anyone, and then not answering the phone or being willing to talk to
her. And then saying that's because of Lila when he's already made these huge public declarations.
Oh, yeah.
He's over Lila.
All
of the evidence is pointing towards one.
There
conclusion.
Is no evidence.
There absolutely
what are,
is.
What
evidence.
Are these facts? Then
it depends
that we're
if you count
if they're not evidence.
But,
not
so
evidence.
The testimony is.
So do you?
It's making assumptions about the context of a conversation. That's not evidence.
Well. So here's the question: Do you believe Riley's testimony?
I can't believe anything. I don't know.
We gotta believe something.
Well, that's a non-position.
That is a non-position. That's the position I'm taking.
You can't have a non-position.
Right now, with what I'm saying he is not guilty. Why? Because I have nothing to go off of but of one person's testimony. I'm not convicting a person and a note and a text message.
But again, first of all, so if that's all you have, but the first thing is, do you believe what she said?
I don't know if I do. I mean, that's the hard part. I don't know. There's not enough. I mean, I don't know. I don't.
What would you need?
He was not asked to speak under oath, right? He gave his statement. Are you told that you have to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? No, right? When you just
give
a statement.
You don't swear on a. No.
So she was the only person that had to do that. So for that, I will say that I believe her statement. And maybe that's the reason that he didn't come forward and defend himself by coming to the stand, because then he would have to swear to tell the truth.
Not saying anything says a lot to me in this case.
Mm-hmm. So I am compelled to believe her because she did testify under oath.
And they did mention, they said that she, defense attorney tried to say that there was inconsistencies, but it was one little tiny minor thing that I even don't. What was it?
I mean, the freeze, the freezing thing.
The pin.
When did she chest?
Yeah.
Before her hands were pinned, or after, and also when before or after her pants were pulled down.
Yeah, that's
when she went into the nurse. It was minor, the account of having the arm across her chest versus not across.
Yeah,
her
minor
chest.
Inconsistency compared to his inconsistencies, which
and
seemed
inconsistencies
to
during drastic. A trauma where. Everything in your brain could be telling you to forget this moment and dissociate.
And his inconsistencies always painted himself in the better light.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't drinking when I went over there.
No.
Yeah, you know, I broke up with her. I was fine. We're friends. Everything he said.
Let's have a statement analysis of one woman telling a story and one man telling a story.
We're talking about inconsistencies.
Listen,
inconsistencies.
There's always going to be doubt. All right,
right. It's just a question of reasonable.
Reasonable.
Doubt.
And for me, there is no reasonable. Doubt.
There's no reasonable way he couldn't, in this situation, he did not rape her.
No.
He raped her.
I can't say that.
If there was reasonable doubt, the defense should have presented that as to why then she decided to bring this case forward. Why she's making these legal claims against someone who she mostly described in a positive way.
It is possible for us to consider lesser offenses.
Because this one is sexual battery.
This is sexual battery. There, he has been charged with other offenses as well. The first one being attempt. A person who attempts to commit an offense prohibited by law and in such attempt does any act toward the commission of such offense but fails in the perpetration or is intercepted or prevented in the execution thereof commits the offense of criminal attempt.
So we could lessen the charge to attempted sexual battery.
If we
felt he failed,
they had
committed.
Sex.
They both agreed that
sex.
So, and her perineum was teared.
Torn. Yeah.
Torn.
So attempt is that shouldn't even be here?
Yeah.
All right. Mm. Next, assault. An assault is an intentional, unlawful threat by word or act to do violence to the person of another, coupled with an apparent ability to do so, and doing some act which creates a well-founded fear in such other person that such violence is imminent.
Yeah.
So it'd be sexual assault versus sexual battery?
Yes. So
I see.
Unlawful threat by word or act to do violence. But definitely not word, right?
Mm-mm.
But act.
Yeah.
To do violence to the person coupled with an apparent ability, yes. Well-founded fear, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Violence is imminent. I mean, yes.
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 Okay, so
that would be on top
this
of.
This can be in addition.
This would be in addition. This is a second charge.
Hmm.
My problem with this is intentional. Like, that's the problem. Maybe I'm old school, and I probably am. I know it's frustrating. But my job as a jury member is to look at the evidence provided and beyond a reasonable doubt with no emotion involved, look at this and say, was it intentional? We do not know.
Okay, so here's the thing. If it is beyond a reasonable doubt in your mind...
Yes.
Please share with us what is your reasonable doubt.
The fact that it's one story versus
That's.
There's no evidence.
Sucks. But is one story reasonably more convincing than the other?
Incorrect. There is evidence.
There's evidence. You want to go through your phone and have your phone figured out and
so now that's an emotional argument.
Let me finish and speak. Go through your
phone.
There
is evidence.
No, fucking go through your phone and you tell me if I looked at something and read it the wrong way that I want to convict you on something that you're okay with.
But that's not what we're convicting on.
That's the evidence we have. A note left.
By the individual.
Yeah, I would fucking say that too. If I would be like, you know what? Fuck God, that sucked. That sucked so bad. I'm so sorry. Please don't tell anybody. So you're telling me that that's a fact? You know that for a fact that was his intention? You don't. Period.
You can't look at each thing individually.
Yeah,
so it's looking
it's
at the looking at the picture as a whole. You know, looking at things together.
I'm looking at it.
Does it paint a reasonable depiction of sexual battery?
So, but again, you still haven't. I still don't feel like you've given a reasonable doubt. All you've done is negated all the things that we've looked at.
Or it's more like there's doubt, but is it reasonable?
Not enough.
It is reasonable to me. Yes,
but
it's
you haven't explained. and what the reasonable part is.
Because it's fucking assumptions on people's words.
So what would you need in order to make
evidence.
This conviction?
I need hardcore evidence. I need her clothes that she should have brought in after her rape for a rape kit. That's what I want. I want to see those. Are they stretched like you were saying? Are they torn? If you want to sit there and bring someone, bring any shred of evidence.
So
bring
you
the
expect
glasses,
a
bring
rape the- victim to be assaulted in certain clothes that she is wearing and go through the emotional turmoil of not actually knowing if she was raped because this is a situation that is muddy with someone that she cared about and she has doubt and she is guilty herself. And
she knows she's raped. I mean, she said that she was raped.
Now she does, but I'm saying in the day following, that she's not going to wash her clothes. She's not going to want to put those away. She's not going to alter them in some way that would make them not admissible as evidence anyway.
But what would the clothes even show? The clothes wouldn't show anything. Yeah. The clothes aren't going to talk. The clothes aren't going to say, oh, I heard her say no, and he didn't listen. That's what we need. We need some form of – what you're asking for is a form of evidence, someone who was there who heard, oh, she said no, and he was being forceful and didn't listen to her. That's the only thing that would prove it because there is no physical evidence because they both agreed that they had sex.
Yes.
So even clothes wouldn't prove anything.
So that's immaterial.
Even that, but when you said that's the only thing that would prove it, period, that's my point. That's the only shred of evidence that we have. It's, again, you're asking me to convict somebody off of somebody's words.
So and this will ruin his life. This will destroy his life.
You believe that the only rape cases that can actually be convicted are if there's a video recording or
someone's there
or a physical witness? When does that ever happen?
It doesn't, and that's the shitty part of
this. Right, so fuck anyone coming forward with rape? Are you ridiculous?
In this current system, I'm sorry. I can't convict somebody on that. I cannot. If my son were doing the same shit,
unless there's a video of someone
what if your daughter was? What if your daughter was a victim?
Think about you.
But that's the thing, though, guys. That's the shitty part of this. I'm not a fucking terrible person, so don't paint me as that picture. I'm saying, as a jury member, I'm looking at this shit. I'm looking at it, and I'm sorry. I don't have anything to say, yep, he did it. That's my reasonable doubt.
It just matters if you believe her or not. If you believe her beyond a reasonable doubt, if you're like, I'm 100% on board with everything she said.
Do I think that they have different stories? Yes.
Yes.
Do I agree that her testimony was exactly what happened? No, I don't. Why? Because I wasn't there.
When I go into editing cave mode, there are weeks when I'm in my apartment for days at a time. With dwindling fresh produce in my fridge, it's easy to turn to junk and fall into an unhealthy cycle. That's why I love Daily Harvest. They deliver plant-based frozen foods right to my door, so I don't have to worry or stress out about my diet on top of everything else. Daily Harvest delivers perfectly portioned cups of frozen organic fruits and vegetables right to you. Then you pop them in your freezer, and when you feel like a smoothie or a bowl of soup or a cup of oatmeal, you add water or almond or coconut milk, and you blend or heat, depending on what you're making. It's the perfect thing to have on hand for days you don't have time to cook. In my case, every day. It's the easiest way I know to feel good about myself, filling my body with a plant-based organic diet with practically zero effort. The only thing that would make it easier is if I had someone pouring it directly into my mouth, which I would not decline. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code DELIBERATIONS to get 3 items free in your first box. That's promo code DELIBERATIONS for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. daily-harvest.com.
But you think she's a liar, is what you're saying.
I don't think she's a liar. I'm going off of what I heard.
Well, if you don't have enough to convict her of rape, then you are calling her a liar because she has flat out...
And if we don't have enough evidence to convict him, you're calling him a rapist without the proper evidence.
You have to tell us what you think she's lying about or what's untruthful.
I think they have very different views of what happened, and there was alcohol involved, and that is the messy part about all of this is what I'm saying.
You're talking about messiness, and you're talking about vagueness, and you're talking about lack of evidence, but you're not.
I think there is some doubt because it is a he said, she said. But
yes, that's
what I think is that with the text messages and like his inconsistencies and her pretty convincing testimony to me, those things, all this stuff together has now kind of for me, I think, kind of pushed it over the edge of it, that it's it, of reasonable doubt.
Yeah,
I think it's pushed it to where
it's his own mission to me is the most glaring thing. Mm-hmm.
I would have loved the opportunity to hear him say, "I didn't do this," and judge whether I believe him or not.
Yeah,
she has done everything within her power to make her case. He has not.
You don't know that. He could have very well just been emotionally charged as well.
If you were accused of this crime, these crimes, there are six charges that we're trying to come to a decision on. If you were accused of these and you believed, if you knew that you were innocent, would you not do everything within your power in a free society, which we are in, to defend him?
Although I will say, I'm pretty sure, again, I'm not a lawyer, but I think most lawyers tell their defendants never to testify. It seems like that's a thing.
It's pretty common. Maybe I've watched
too many, criminal shows. But I feel like they very, very rarely testify. I don't know. Like that's.
But he has not. He's not given anywhere near as much information about his narrative, as consistently as from as many different sort of angles. I mean, there's really just been nothing provided, and I feel like with these kind of charges leveled against him, Both Keith and the defense attorney have to do more.
Yeah, this is his day in court.
Yeah.
This is his moment. He hired that attorney. You know, that attorney represents him. That's it.
Okay,
that's his decision.
If you are against then the consent thing, then I would say, I mean, so the question is, if you're like a staunch no, I mean, not guilty, then would you go with, say, sexual assault? You know, would we then knock it down to sexual assault versus sexual battery?
Aggravated battery.
I think that seems like more, because that says intentionally or knowingly causes great bodily harm,
permanent
disability or permanent disfigurement. I don't think
that applies.
We stopped on assault, right?
Permanent disability or permanent disfigurement, are we talking purely physical or are we talking emotional here?
I think that's physical, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, disfigurement. I think she's okay.
I was just. I guess it was just the permanent disability part.
And then aggravated assault. An aggravated assault is an assault with an intent to commit a felony.
I don't think that.
No, I don't think he was intending to commit a felony.
No.
I'm gonna get my felony on tonight.
We didn't cover this one, did we? Battery, felony, battery.
No, we didn't.
The offense of battery occurs when a person, one, actually and intentionally touches or strikes another person against the will of other.
Yes.
Or intentionally causes bodily harm to another person.
Number one. I could easily say number one. Like when she said grab and pull him towards her, or pull her towards him, I would say yes to that.
Which one? To attempted?
To battery.
Battery. So we all agree guilty.
Yes.
On battery, felony, battery.
Versus. You guys, I'm not a terrible person.
We never said you were a terrible person.
No one
said that. We're just
battery versus sexual battery. You're saying
this would be
good old fashioned felony regular battery.
Felony battery.
That's inappropriate, and that's not okay.
Touches or strikes, actually and intentionally.
Intentionally.
That's 100%.
Okay.
I see. Oh, so it's one or the other, or intentionally causes bodily harm.
It only has to be one of those.
Actually,
I would say one. I wouldn't say two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're saying you believe her that he touched her or that forcibly against her will, but you don't believe that he raped her?
I think that's
where it gets fishy for me.
I'm going to answer for what I think it is, which is I feel like we don't know what the sentencing is going to be. And the sentencing for sexual battery and for rape could be really taking a lot away. And so I feel like because there's doubt that I know we're all trying to figure out what the reasonable portion of the doubt is, that maybe you're hesitant to do some things since we don't know what the conviction is, to put someone away where it's going to ruin their whole life. Is that what it is? And that's why you feel like we can be guilty to this battery, but not guilty to the sexual battery?
Because if you really look at
the definition
of battery and intentionally touching or striking another person against the will.
And if we acknowledge,
that to equate this to consent is, it's very easily equatable.
Would assault also be in the, we'd also go with assault too? Assault sounds like it would be.
Yes.
So we'd have.
Whoa.
I mean, because
an intentional, unlawful threat by word or act of violence to the
violence to the other person, coupled with an apparent ability to do so. He had definitely the ability to do so. And doing some act which creates a well-founded fear in such other person that such violence is imminent.
The only word in there, I think so. The only word that makes me just pause is intentional because alcohol is involved. Yes.
But see, sometimes, I mean, can someone be doing something without, like, the intent? Yeah.
Intentionally is in battery, too. So if you can't do assault, then you can't do battery.
He went there with intent. He said that.
Well, back to this assault thing. The assault is this is saying it's assault if he was going over there to do violence, right?
I don't think he was going over there intentionally to do.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't either. I think he...
Yes, in battery, it's actually and intentionally touches or strikes. Well, yes, he did, and yes, that he intentionally did it
against her will.
Against her will. So yes, I think he's guilty of battery.
But above the one where it says
for assault,
attack to do with violence, and that I don't think
I
he really tried
my,
to do that.
What I said,
for assault.
I can far more easily see sexual battery than assault, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and especially if we're
are you saying?
I'm just saying that I retract my vote for assault.
The thing with even battery is it means that we all believe her story.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And so why do we believe her story here for battery, and then what one of us doesn't agree with
sexual battery
when
they both say
sexual battery.
That sexual intercourse did happen. That's all I'm trying to say.
And we're forgetting where the problem with this is that alcohol was involved. So if we're going to do this, then let's convict every man that has drank alcohol and done something that quote-unquote regretted.
Let's not make any more comparisons to
you
individuals
just did,
outside
so I'm doing
of...
the same.
No, look, but like, these men, we're not talking about all men or all women or these extremes. Can we just talk about
Keith Montgomery and Riley
and this particular night right now? You said that you agreed that battery... that he's guilty of battery, actually and intentionally touching or striking another person against the will of the other. You said yes to that.
Yes.
On sexual battery, the four different elements of this in order for us to convict Keith or in order for us to say he's guilty, Keith Montgomery committed an act upon Riley Page in which the sexual organ of the defendant penetrated or had union with the vagina of the victim.
Yes.
And both individuals say yes to that. The second part, and we both agree that they're over the age of 18, the second part, Keith Montgomery's act was committed without the consent of Riley Page. You said that you agree that battery happened, that this contact happened without consent, mm-hmm. against the will of the other. So these two, if you believe that he's guilty of battery, how is it possible? How is it possible for sexual battery to
because
have not also occurred.
Then you are saying that battery occurred, and yet somehow between battery and the act of intercourse,
she consented. Yeah,
and that's outrageous.
No, it's not. Not to me, it's not. So, don't
so you're,
outrageous.
But you're. Is
then
that
how?
What you're?
Explain
is that what
it.
You're
Please
arguing?
Explain it to
that's
us.
What I'm saying. If someone grabbed me and said, and then if Keith grabbed her, right?
Okay.
And then she kind of laughed and was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." That that's fine. Whatever. I get that. That's not okay.
What do you mean by fine?
That's meaning like I agree with that. That's not okay.
That's not okay. Okay, so that's the battery.
Yes.
Okay.
The fuzzy part for me is when it's a sexual crime, right? This is a sexual crime. I feel like these two, it's almost like two different events occurred. Like that part, I understand. I get it. But when you get into the actual act,
Why
and
does
alcohol
that...
was involved. I'm sorry.
Well, alcohol was still involved in the battery part.
I understand that, but these are two very... A kiss versus fucking someone are two very separate issues.
So,
but if battery happened first, how can there be consent
there
to
is the
sex,
recovery.
Which is like the kiss... Like, the sex is more than a kiss, right?
Yeah, and she also, after this, she walked away. I'm looking this at
Wait,
two
what?
Separate
no.
issues.
No,
after,
no,
she kissed, she's like, she laughed, and she laughed, right? Oh, sorry, not walked away. She laughed, right? I feel like these are two very separate instances.
So where is the point of separation in your mind? Because
right after she laughed, like when she laughed, I feel like, okay, so that was almost a breaking point, almost like a separate issue. What happened afterwards is very, I don't know.
So are you arguing that because she laughed, that obviates, that removes the possibility of sexual battery because she laughed?
No, I'm just saying.
She's saying that
very...
was a break where.
Yeah.
And. But what Riley is saying and what we
consent?
Are choosing to believe,
yeah.
because we are saying that we believe the first part of her testimony,
yeah.
is that the laugh then preceded him actually forcing her into submission.
Are you
that
trying
to
angered
no break,
him?
And that it actually infuriated him and made him act more violently towards her.
And then when she tried to struggle,
she could
struggle,
not break away.
He seemed to enjoy that, and so she stopped struggling.
But it's almost like it was battery that then turned into sexual battery.
Right.
And but you're more
That's
willing to
brain.
Lily's more willing just to go with battery, and she's got a little bit of reasonable doubt in
Where
her mind
do you see
about
consent?
The sexual battery.
Yeah.
Where do I see consent? I feel like alcohol can misconstrue the consent of someone of another person.
But alcohol does not consent.
Okay. Well,
sure.
Yeah, no, of course. I agree. I think alcohol can misconstrue consent. But when the other person, if we are to believe what Riley's saying, and Keith has, he's not denied this, she said no. She cried. She was crying.
Can't stop.
She physically struggled at first. In what way can that be construed as consent?
I can't. What I'm saying, would it change anyone's opinion if they believe that Keith understood Riley to be wanting sex? Because alcohol can impair your judgment.
Would it change our opinion of what? The fact that
for
he
me,
committed
no.
sexual battery?
I mean, if she wanted sex, then yeah, that would change.
No, for me, no, because that is a moment-to-moment thing. Because even if she did want it, she can still say no a moment later, and that's... not consent.
I think that maybe she might have wanted sex from him on another night.
Yeah.
But because of the alcohol involved.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he showed up, was already had a few.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that she repeats how he smelled every time he got close to her made me sense her repulsion of him that night. And where she was not attracted to him, she was not wanting him, she was not interested in having him at all in that way. She wanted him to be away from her, and she wanted to listen to him, she wanted to be a friend, she
yeah.
wanted to understand,
yeah.
she wanted to be there for him. She did not want him in her personal space.
Yeah.
And I did not get the sense that she wanted anything from him on that night. Maybe if he was... looking better, acting better on a different right. night, possibly. Not
That's
on
definitely,
night.
Yeah. I mean, girls can switch like that. It's like,
yeah.
I definitely had that experience
yeah.
where you think
yeah.
something's going one way
yeah.
and then maybe they kind of go, they get like a cold feet or they, whatever,
yeah.
for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I think I've found it's definitely like women can, something, whatever it is, some emotional trigger or something
yeah,
can.
Comfort. Comfort is not
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And it
yeah,
turns off
there.
And that's fine. That's when a normal person says,
yeah.
okay.
But
yeah,
I don't.
Versa.
But I don't.
That too, right?
I don't feel like there was any emotional back and forth on this particular night, though. I don't think anything in the testimony she gave, or in what we've looked at in terms of evidence, suggested that she was sort of back and forth or leading him on in any way.
Although three drinks, you know, she keeps. I mean, I feel like usually if. It's like the fact that she was go, let's have another. Who? It's like who was getting the drinks?
No, but you have
That's,
to think,
yeah.
too, that I feel like she's trying to wrap up this sort of negative breakup that they had in a nice bow. Or it's like, look how far we've come. I can sit here with you and we can have whiskey and be very adult and
yeah.
talk about
but
this.
Even
and
so,
I can lend a helping hand. I'm the bigger person here. You did this to me,
but,
and yet I'm counseling.
But
you.
Someone you've had a past sexual relationship with, would you have sit there and have three whiskey?
They were in the kitchen.
If there was no.
Originally.
They, right? They were originally.
If there's not
in
a thought
kitchen.
In your mind
table.
Of any kind of sexual thing
yeah.
happening, would you keep drinking with that guy? I feel like most girls would
also, as a man who's had previous conversations where she said, ooh, that would be fun due to physical contact and physical rough sex.
Wait,
maybe
what?
That hasn't been said. She said, no, the whole email thing with the
joke. That was about
joke.
A joke.
Sure. Sure. Why isn't Keith's text being looked at as a joke?
She never said rough sex in that email.
No, she said that sounds like fun. Could you not see?
She didn't say what it was.
Let me fucking finish. Would you not see for a fucking second that Keith may be thinking in an inebriated state that, oh, see, this is what she wanted. This is what has been talked about before. This
she wanted to be spanked or she wanted to be raped?
Yeah, an inebriated state is not, that is not enough of a justification for what's happened.
That was a joke about a joke. I don't even think it belongs
while they
anywhere.
Were dating.
Yeah. It doesn't even belong
over
in
email.
Here at all.
But let's take a joke between bros and convict a man on it.
That wasn't a joke.
That's a fucking joke between two guys.
That was a declaration of what he was going to do, and then he went and did it.
Sure. So you say, you're making assumptions that
Wait,
was a separation.
I'm making assumptions that they had sex.
No, I'm saying the text, you're saying that is any different from Riley's email.
He said, I'm going to go get my dick wet. And then they both agree they had intercourse.
No. Hold the phone. Stop right there. You're saying, okay, he said he was going to get his dick wet. Riley also said that could be fun. How are those different? How are those fucking different?
One was about a joke about a fake fight, and one is, I'm gonna go get my dick wet.
Okay, wait, hold the phone. Okay, so everything that you've said, we should take literally?
Okay, why are we going to these extremes again?
Because
why are we drifting away?
Because I'm trying to understand a man committed sexual battery. That's my problem. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, I think we're running in circles here, so I feel like you're clearly against sexual battery. Correct.
When it comes to the sexual act,
you have reasonable doubt.
Say that.
Okay.
I do have very many reasonable
so
doubts.
So I'm just trying to make progress here. I feel like that's out. And so would you then go with downgrade to battery?
It's one and the same.
Well, that might be in your brain, but I'm saying in Lily's brain it is not. So I'm just saying if clearly
happens,
to me seems
battery
like,
happened, I do not understand how the two cannot.
Intercourse happened with the two very different perceptions of what happened.
So you're saying intercourse happened with consent? You're saying that she wanted it. She
in
wanted him.
In his mind, she said they had fun.
It's about what happened. You're saying that she wanted
consented.
It.
I'm having a reasonable doubt as to whether or not. I don't know. I don't necessarily believe that. No,
you
I
don't.
Can't, I can't.
Okay. Can you see? So you can't give like a yes or a no there.
Not right now. No.
Not well. We need to decide this so, right now.
I mean, I cannot go off of. I'm looking at this with evidence. I can't.
But you would go with battery.
Intelligent, knowing, involuntary consent and does not include core submission. Consent does not mean the failure by the alleged victim to offer physical resistance to the
which
offender.
She did anyway.
Supposedly.
So would you go with battery?
There are a million things already too complicated in our lives. Contact lenses shouldn't be one of them. Simple Contacts is simplifying the entire process, from prescription to having a full stock of lenses. Here's how it works. Take a quick, self-guided vision test from your computer or your phone. It's reviewed by a licensed doctor in 24 hours. You receive a renewed prescription and reorder your brand of contacts. Or, if you have an unexpired prescription, great, just use that. Upload a photo of it or your doctor's info and order your lenses in minutes. Simple Contacts has every brand of lens. And let's talk about the price. The prescription is just $20 compared to an annual appointment, which can be up to $200 without insurance. Shipping, free. Best of all, my listeners get $30 off their first order. To save $30 on your lenses, go to simplecontacts.com/deliberations or enter the code deliberations at checkout. Quick note, this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. You'll still need those occasionally, but it is the most convenient way to renew a prescription and reorder your contacts. Again, check out Simple Contacts and get $30 off by going to simplecontacts.com/deliberations. Or just enter code DELIBERATIONS at checkout. You're saving time, money, and headache with Simple Contacts.
She had a torn perineum, and that is the result of some form of rough sex. They both agreed
so
that
all
they
sex that's no no rough
no no no.
Wrong.
I'm not talking about all, but I'm saying that the fact that they definitely had sex, they both admit that, and the fact that the torn perineum, as far as I know, cannot occur unless the sex was rough. And her testimony,
they did say it can happen in normal sex as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
consensual sex.
Consensual.
Well, yeah,
because there can be
consensual
yeah.
sex, but it does can still be rough.
Yes, absolutely. I'm just saying, look, if those tears weren't there, it wouldn't look good, but they are. You know?
I just want to read the statement that we're disagreeing about one more time. Keith Montgomery's act was committed without the consent of Riley Page. This is a statement that we're going back and forth about. Everything else we agree happened.
Yeah.
So Keith Montgomery's act was committed without the consent of Riley Page. And what most of us are saying is that where was the point that she consented?
Right. We're hearing the exact opposite from her.
We don't have any...
we don't have a reasonable doubt that she...
she did consent. Yeah. There was no evidence provided to us to show her consent.
And she's saying that because there's alcohol, it doesn't matter.
Not that it doesn't matter. It just makes things very fuzzy, and I can't make
Lily's saying that it's reasonable that perhaps in there somewhere she did consent.
Or it was perceived as consent.
Well, being perceived as consent is not adequate.
Yeah, that's
being
not what it says here.
Being perceived as someone saying, get my dick wet, is also...
No, but we're not talking about that. No, but that is not what we're talking about. We're looking at this one statement.
Let's look at the statement. Keith Montgomery act. To me, there's two different acts here. There's battery where he grabbed her. I understand that's not okay.
So we're talking about sexual battery right
but
now.
But lest we forget that Keith never said that he grabbed her. So I just don't understand why you are believing her for half of this. And you are stating that he...
I'm not believing her for half. I'm dissecting it.
Well, no, you are believing her for half of this.
It's not my that I'm saying I believe her or not. I feel like that paints me in a very shitty light. Thank you very much. I'm saying that it's very fuzzy between an act of battery and sexual battery. And when sex gets involved,
what's making
but you
fuzzy?
Would go with battery if we did battery right now. If we were guilty, you would
for
say
one
guilty.
One portion of that, I understand where.
I mean,
yes,
if we took a vote on battery, you would say guilty.
That she came on to him.
He said, she said. Why are we?
Okay, but I mean, so on sexual battery, you would say not guilty, and on battery, you would say guilty?
Yeah. We've already established that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just double checking. Yeah. I just want to be clear on that. But, so we have lesser verdict if we wanted to go with it.
Five out of six of us agree that sexual battery also occurred. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
And all of us agree that three out of four of these points... We have.
Yes.
It is only the number two, the issue of consent. And it all doesn't make sense.
That's fine. Okay, let's check it off. And if you guys are okay, saying that this happened with absolutely without a doubt and this guy gets fucked over, have fun sleeping at night. Do it. I know I'm going to sleep just fucking fine. But what I'm telling you is that we cannot say without a reasonable doubt that this guy did this. That is our job. That's our job. We're going off of what somebody said against another. And I'm sorry, I have a problem with that.
We're also going on what wasn't said.
Yes.
Same thing. No. I understand what you're saying. I'm saying it's a very fucking fuzzy thing here.
The fuzziness?
It's a very fuzzy thing. And to convict somebody off of what we're feeling, which is 99% sure what we're doing, is not okay. And it's unsettling to me.
I don't think we are operating off feelings. I think we're operating off
lack
hours
of evidence?
Of deliberation. The only lack of evidence in my mind is an omission, is a lack
Keith's testimony.
Keith's testimony.
Yeah.
Keith's purposeful defense. Lack. Yes.
To your knowledge, you don't know whether he was told to.
No, I don't, because he has chosen to withhold. There is that is completely on him and his defense.
Okay, they have every guy. Then fuck every guy who drinks alcohol.
No, it's not about every guy.
Yeah,
it's about him
every guy that
and his
alcohol.
Defense.
That's fine.
It's got nothing. It's got. Why are you expanding this?
Well, because I
to
really
everyone.
Hope you're not in this situation. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I hope
I'm not in this situation either. But this isn't what we're debating right now. We're debating why would he not have done everything within his power to proclaim himself innocent.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because every single case you see on the news, somebody gets convicted. Somebody loses their fucking job. Are you fucking kidding me right now? Why would he?
We're talking about this particular situation.
I understand that.
I feel like this turned like a religious debate. Like, she's not going to change her mind, so I just feel like we should just go with battery.
No, that's fine. If you guys want to convict him, sure, do it.
Well, we can't.
Wait, you would say guilty, you're saying?
If you guys have if you guys are fucking okay with that, have a fucking great life.
I hope and pray
that one of you were in that situation and somebody does the exact same shit to you. Off of what fucking evidence we have.
Well, if you're that strong about it, you can just say not guilty. I mean, if you're that, why would you just say guilty and fuck him over if you're that strongly about it? I mean,
maybe karma. I don't know. Fuck it. So, I mean, honestly.
I'd just like to know, what is your position now? Are you saying
I think that's pretty clear.
Well, I don't know. I feel like it was very clearly one thing and then it's the opposite.
No, well, I think she's...
Do we vote here or what's our next move?
At this time, a bailiff entered.
Breaking news in the trial of Keith Montgomery.
No questions, please. I'm not taking questions.
In a surprising turn, a plea was entered today while the jury was actively deliberating in another branch of the courthouse.
We request you respect his privacy.
Keith Montgomery has pled guilty.
As he pled guilty in open court, Keith made the following statement.
My name is Keith Montgomery, and after sitting trial for a charge of unspeakable violation, today I'm entering a plea of guilty for a crime I don't remember. I consumed a copious amount of alcohol on the night of April 19th, and both my memory and judgment were compromised. I've blacked out before. This wasn't that. Not exactly. But the night is patchy, hazy, and eventually dark. I don't remember getting home. The next day I felt like I'd partied too hard, and that was all. I remembered the sex, but more in flashes. When the police questioned me, I was confused. When I learned about what Riley was saying, I was more confused because I know I'm not a rapist. I can't imagine doing the things she said I did. I would never hurt someone that way. But she says I hurt her, and I can't remember it clearly, and I'm more confused than ever. Before trial, I couldn't see my way to pleading guilty or confessing. But now I've watched the trial, and I've seen Riley cry, and I've seen the faces on those jurors, and I understand that assuming responsibility is all that's left for me to do. Facing the horrible prospect that I've evaded. Clearly I've hurt someone. I've hurt you, Riley. And I'm sorry. I believe you, Riley. I believe it happened the way you remember. Not the way I thought it had. And I'm willing to accept whatever that means. And all I ask in return is that you believe that isn't who I am. Not really. I made a mistake, but please know that isn't who I am. I want this plea to be the first step down a road that returns us to normalcy. I want that for myself, and I especially want that for Riley Page.
Response to Mr. Montgomery's guilty plea has been varied. In an odd twist, the defendant himself has chosen to believe the victim, in a time and place when many others haven't. I'm not sure what this moment means for the community of victims' advocates. I think it's positive, but at the same time, something about the tone of Keith's statement has left something to be desired by a lot of Riley Page supporters. There was a reluctance to accept responsibility. Some felt this willingness to plead guilty was down to a belief he'd been convicted, and they sensed no genuine remorse. But what I'm wondering, assuming we genuinely believe his memory was compromised, in that position, what would you have done? Is it possible to violate someone while drunk and lacking control and then not remember it happening that way afterward? Is it possible, with intimacy and boundaries and communication and booze, that ambiguity existed between the two of them? Keith Montgomery does not seem like the most emotionally mature person, but to publicly state he believes his own accuser requires some integrity, and I think that warrants credit. Most controversial was Keith's statement, "I am not a rapist," within his own guilty plea of rape. Is this hypocritical or something else? It's made me think. I think I have a firm grasp of what rape is, but I'm losing certainty of what it means to be a rapist. All I know is that I'm glad Riley Page has seen justice.
Listening to Keith Montgomery's allocution was interesting because at points you really felt for him and you felt like he was taking responsibility by hearing him apologize to Riley and say, "I believe you. I believe what happened." I can't help but wonder, though, is that too little too late for the judge who's going to ultimately be making the sentencing decision here? After all, Keith did go to police and make a statement of affirmative consent between he and Riley. In fact, if everyone recalls, his original statement to the police involved him claiming that she was all over him and came on to him. His allocution was a pretty radical departure from that original narrative. Additionally, typically plea deals are reached in part to spare the victim the trauma of having to testify and be cross-examined. No such break was given to the victim here, and it would surprise me if the judge didn't consider that as a mark against Keith's character. Finally, knowing that he has a previous criminal history, I think we can expect a reasonably lengthy sentence for Keith Montgomery.
The judge vocalized a vehement disapproval for the statement of Keith Montgomery. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison and 25 years as a registered offender. Thank you for listening. Following these credits, I will be speaking personally about my reaction to and opinions regarding the trial of Keith Montgomery. Deliberations is created, written, produced, directed, and edited by me, Chelsea Cox, and it proudly airs as part of the Audio Boom Network. Today's cast, jury, Lindsay Purcell, Ross Denyer, Lindsay Fishkin, Kevin Bryan, Drew Phillips, and Lindsay Mallard. News and Courtroom, Alyssa Ariel Perez, Laura Meadows, Victoria Dunn, Jessa Nicholson-Getz, Teresa Moore, and Jonathan Zeiger. Editorial advisement by Jessa Nicholson-Getz from the hit podcast Getting Off. Some music in this episode was sourced from incompetech.com. This concludes the trial of Keith Montgomery. It took a lot of uncomfortable turns, and I want the chance to address with you directly what those turns were and what happened in the making of this season. I had the idea to explore a topic of ambiguous consent when speaking to Jessa last season. We were talking about alcohol, and my recollection of that talk is that we were saying if a victim is under the influence of alcohol, it rightly voids her ability to give consent. Contrarily, however, if the perpetrator of a violation is under the influence of alcohol, it doesn't void anything, either legally or through perception. And anyway, that's my recollection. But I do remember clearly that in all of this, Jessa made the statement, "These are uncomfortable conversations to have." And I felt inspired by that statement to explore these uncomfortable conversations, particularly with national media paying attention to consent and its definition and makeup. I thought there was a chance to explore consent through the comfort of fiction, through a fictional trial. It went off the rails. My goal was to create a trial that was pretty evenly balanced. The jurors would be sympathetic to the complaining witness, but they would struggle with the evidence provided not being enough to take away a man's liberty. My mistake in scripting was undervaluing the evidence Riley Page offered. My mistake in casting was massively undervaluing the power of a gifted actress delivering difficult and moving testimony. We recorded the entire scripted trial in one day in my apartment. I was sitting in front of Ashley Fain, the actress who played Riley Page, when she delivered her lines, and she nearly brought me to tears. I knew she was talented. She was talented in her audition. That's why I cast her. But it was so much more than I anticipated. And I was sitting there listening to her, and I was moved, and I thought, fuck, this trial is over. My trial is over. I watched Keith Montgomery sink that day, that moment. Keith Montgomery, in my imagination, was an idiot. He was this guy who dropped street slang while wearing Tommy Hilfiger and being on Snapchat all the time. Everybody hates that guy. He was that guy to me. In season one, Samantha Hall was beloved. She was likable and supported. And I wondered, what would happen if public opinion was against the defendant? Would that change things with the jury? With you? I thought I was creating a picture in which Riley was sympathetic. Keith was unsympathetic. The question being, how do we solve problems of he said, she said? How are those viewed, understood, resolved? What do we look to make those determinations? These are the needling questions I churned around while imagining this trial. When I realized Keith Montgomery was sunk, I tried to address the matter after the fact, after recording. I tried to establish the defense attorney as under-resourced. I tried to add bits of information leaking into the media that didn't make it to trial. I had actors send me iPhone recordings, and I edited them together to sound like conversations and frantically plugged them into the last several episodes. I tried to retroactively create some element of balance. Here's what I didn't and did want. I didn't want to create a story that villainized defendants or stripped them of their presumption of innocence. I did want to highlight the struggles complaining witnesses face. I didn't want to emotionally provoke real victims who were listening. And I also didn't want to contribute to a narrative in which a person should be brought down in the media or the courts by only an accusation. I did want to incite a compelling discussion. It got away from me. I was walloped. I felt all these things happening, people looking demonized. I was scared I was accidentally conveying a dangerous message in either direction. This podcast is highly experimental. These trials and deliberations take on a life of their own, and I'm grateful for my talented jury and the gripping conversations they had. I was also fearful of delivering a verdict, one way or another. I felt caught in this maelstrom of triggers and pain, and I felt the weight of creating compelling but responsible content. Someone in the Facebook group wrote that I should please not deliver a verdict this season because the conversations that evolved could be undermined, and they shouldn't. None of them should. They should stand for themselves. Essentially, they didn't want a verdict clouding these discussions by establishing a correct or incorrect result. I agreed. At that time, my jury was gone. It was too late for me to hang them, and I think anyone watching the trial would suspect he would be convicted, so reaching a plea agreement at the 11th hour seemed like a somewhat reasonable ending. I feel a little guilty about what I did to Keith Montgomery. He wound up being more Keith Montgomery-y than I intended. I thought, in the end, him stating that he believed the victim and stating that while he did something atrocious, he did not consider himself thereby defined as the worst thing he'd ever done, with the words, "I'm not a rapist," might inspire a conversation about what it means to make a horrifying choice and whether people who do deserve to be defined as anything beyond that. Of course, with such a statement, he sealed his fate, but, you know, I figured that was okay because he's fiction. And also guilty, seems, right? I mean, right. I didn't make anything easy for this guy. Or you guys. God, when I was, when I went to edit that episode with the ugly text message, the crass one, I thought, oh God, I had forgotten how inflammatory that part was. And I don't think I've been on social media since that episode dropped. I'm sorry about that text message, but it happened. It's what was written and it's what I wrote. Take ownership of that and recorded, and it's what was debated, and trials take turns and memories take turns, and this season was fluid. It evolved with the actors and it evolved with you, and I was listening to you the whole time. And I'll say this too. I hate it when podcasters pander, and I don't want to be annoying, but the conversations and comments I've seen from you have been so intelligent and kind and demonstrated such depth that I felt humbled and awed and grateful throughout everything. It gives me encouragement to know that our society is filled with people like you who ask smart questions and have open minds and are willing to change those minds and address one another courteously, who validate each other's experiences and treat those experiences, whatever they may be, with dignity. I'm taking a beat before next season to write and rewrite and rewrite and create a killer season for you guys. There will be murder. There will be blood. And I'm hopeful it'll be fun. I really do love you guys, and you've made me better the past few months, so thank you. And in 2 days, we are going to tie this whole season up with a bow by getting a final rundown with none other than Jessa and Nick, our friendly neighborhood sex defense attorneys. We'll be discussing plea deals, the role of emotion in deliberations, unlikable defendants, and as the icing, some choice words from Jessa on Keith's defense attorney's trial strategy. That drops Monday. Thanks for listening.